is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
608, John DeCoss, quickly, for folks who want tickets to New Year's Eve, what do they do?
They can go to...
Quickly.
RouseCenter.org.
Quickly.
Or you can
Faster.
Contact the box office at 815-356...
Don't even do the whole number. Just quickly.
9212. That's 8.
What is the number again?
815.
Yes.
356-9212.
The mayor has announced a task force, or I should say will announce a task force this morning, apparently from Paris, right? Isn't the mayor in Paris for the climate change conference? That's where he was headed. Has he arrived yet?
I don't know if he's arrived. I don't know.
All right. Well, he's going to make the announcement this morning. Emmanuel announced the creation of a task force on police accountability. The task force will review how the city trains its police officers and the kind of oversight they face. The move comes after outrage about Jason Van Dyke, the former officer who's now out on bail. A lot of people were surprised that Van Dyke got bail. Bail in murder cases happens.
Oh yeah, and it's $1.5 million.
Yeah,
it's not a low bail at all.
Right. So 10% of that, which is what he had to come up with, was $150,000 in cash, wherever that came from. Protesters have called on the mayor and the state's attorney. And the superintendent of police all to resign. Gary McCarthy has said that the mayor has his back. I'm not quite sure how this is going over at the police department today, or at least with Mr. McCarthy. The new task force will include input of victims' rights representatives, law enforcement organizations, and youth and religious leaders as well, which you would assume would include some of the people who protested this weekend. The panel's recommendations will be presented to the mayor and the city council by the end of March. It's something, but it doesn't answer the questions that are already out there.
Right.
This is stuff going forward, and it looks at what's going on now in regards to training, but it doesn't answer the questions that we brought up yesterday.
As far as I'm seeing, Ron will be there.
He'll be here today?
Yeah, 11 o'clock today, City Hall.
Okay.
Where they're going to announce the creation of this task force.
And I'm guessing he won't take questions, but we'll find out. Kevin, you've invited him on this show many times recently, and
yes.
what's the response, if any?
Response has been, crickets recently.
Okay.
At least for the past couple weeks, really.
Yeah. And again, these are just fair questions that need to be answered for the sake of everybody. In the meantime, my favorite presidential candidate, Donald Trump, has been very busy. Trump last night met with a group of black pastors who had requested a meeting with him. He then ended the meeting by having him or his people say that they had endorsed him, which, again, is a lie. Hillary and Trump ought to have a lie off. So Trump finished the meeting, and then the black pastor said, no, not an endorsement, just a conversation. And absolutely not true. And for the first time, Trump's people actually had to back it off.
They love me. They love me.
And say it was I'm sure it was misinterpreted or a misstatement of fact or whatever. But the fact is that the black pastors did not endorse Trump. They were meeting with him and asking him about the disparaging things that he said. He is backing off by not talking about it. The notion that thousands of Muslims danced in the streets on 9/11 in New Jersey. And because of his incredible vision, he was able to see that 4 miles from his house. Everyone, Republicans, Democrats, Martians, Venusians, I mean, everybody, all said the same thing. Didn't happen. Just didn't happen. I mean, you know, the polite statement is it's factually incorrect. No, the fact is he's lying, as he's lied about many other things. Probably one of the most offensive things he's done, which kind of flew under the radar because it was over the Thanksgiving holiday, was mocking a New York Times journalist with a disability which causes him to have stiffness and an inability to move his arms. This is a reporter who does some special investigative work for the New York Times, very well-regarded reporter named Serge Kovaleski. And Serge Kovaleski has something called arthrogryposis, I believe that's the right pronunciation, which visibly limits flexibility in his arms. So Trump, and this is a video you can readily get online in a speech, mocks Kovaleski by flapping his arms and says, now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. I don't know what I said. I don't remember, Trump said as he jerked his arms in front of his body. Trump not only has denied that he was mocking the reporter, and that a twisted impression of him. He also said the reporter is, quote, using his disability to grandstand. I mean, it's a special, special guy. So if you are still supporting Donald Trump, there's your next president of the United States.
I'm really rich.
It's 6:13 in the morning. Still to come on this show, David Kaplan will be talking about Cap's take on the world of sports. But I also want to remind you that the 38th annual Christmas Carol is coming to the Goodman Theater now through December 27th. And you can join Ebenezer Scrooge in the classic story. For tickets, you can go to the Goodman Theater website, goodmantheater.org. It's spelled the fancy way, as you expect it would be, T-H-E-A-T-R-E .org. Or you can call them up at 312-443-3800. We're giving a winner an exclusive VIP experience, chance to win four tickets to the December 11th show, a backstage tour, a dinner for four at Howells and Hood here in the Tribune Tower. Go to WGNradio.com/contest to win.
Ridiculous.
What's going on there, Buttercup? What's going on there, Cowboy? Sparky? Cowboy? Sparky? Cowboy? Dog? What's going on there, Sparkles? Romeo? Dog? Buttercup? Romeo? Buttercup?
Now, your Chevy dealer and ChevyDriveChicago.com present Cap's Corner with David Kaplan.
David Kaplan joins us now at the Capman on social media, on TV later, and on the radio later as well. On the radio where?
You can catch me at ESPN 1000 at noon today when I talk to John Paxson.
And TV?
TV at 5 o'clock this afternoon, leading into Blackhawks hockey tonight.
And the Hawks, as we mentioned earlier, have the Minnesota Wild, a team that they'll probably be battling with right through the spring.
Yeah, Minnesota's a very good team. We've played them a bunch in the playoffs. And you know, at some point, you got to think they've got a lot of talent, that they're going to get off the schneid and you know, move ahead in the playoffs at some point. You just hope it's not at our expense. And you know, that was a big win in San Jose. No, it was Anaheim on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching that game, had the day off. I'm laying on the couch, and Hawks are getting shut out, and all of a sudden, bang, bang, two goals, Hossa and Keith. They win it in overtime, and that was sweet.
A couple of things from last night before we get to baseball free agency. One of the worst matchups in Monday Night Football in recent memory ends with a two-minute clown car exhibition in the two-minute drill at the end of the game. A shanked punt, an inexplicable wasting of time where the Cleveland Browns burned off 23 or 24 seconds without calling one of their two or three remaining timeouts, leading them to kick a 51-yard game game-tying field goal, which was blocked and returned for what's now being called a kick six. And a winning score for the Baltimore Ravens. Just a bad football game all around.
That would have been the game-winning field goal.
Oh, was the winner.
Because they got the touchdown to Travis Benjamin, tied it, and then Baltimore had to kick it away, and here comes Cleveland back down the field. In fact, Baltimore got picked off. Here comes Cleveland, and they easily could have moved that thing another 10 yards and gotten closer. It gets blocked, and then you think, okay, we're going to overtime. It's actually an entertaining game between two awful teams. Scoop it up and a kick six down the field.
Any explanation as to why they blew off 20 seconds without calling a timeout?
Yeah, because they're the Cleveland Browns. I mean, I have no idea what would be going through somebody's mind. Although you had a guy in Wade Davis, I believe was his name, the third-string quarterback who was the backup last night because Johnny Manziel can't stay out of clubs and out of trouble. So Manziel was designated the third-string quarterback, so they brought this guy in. And he actually threw the game-tying touchdown on a beautiful pass.
What's his name, Austin Davis?
Austin Davis.
Yeah. Austin Davis. Yeah, he was pretty good, actually. Stand by 1 second, Cap. We got a traffic situation. What's going on there?
This car fire causing all sorts of problems. Inbound Eisenhower just at Mannheim. All the lanes are now blocked with the fire department on the scene. Once again, all lanes blocked. Inbound Ike at Mannheim.
We continue with Cap, sponsored by the Chevy dealers. Cap's Quarter, sponsored by Chevy. DriveChicago.com. Bulls won last night over the Spurs, 92-89. Do we know how many baskets Derrick Rose sees now when he shoots?
Three, and he shoots for the middle one.
That seems like a good call.
So, I mean, he's struggling. He has some moments where he looks like, yeah, he's starting to come along. He's never been a great shooter, But he's really struggling now, and it's understandable if he's, you know, got still, you know, some signs of double vision. Now they lose Mike Dunleavy for longer. They were hoping to get him back. Now he's had a setback with his lower back, and that's not unusual when you have back surgery. So they've got some issues they're working through, but that's a really quality win. The defense on the final play when San Antonio's trying to tie the game up, I mean, Jimmy Butler was magnificent, and give Derek credit, did a nice job flying out to the corner and getting a piece of the shot, and the Bulls win. So that's a good win over a really good team.
You know, Steve Kerr, I got to know Steve Kerr back in the 90s, and we've stayed in touch through the years and played a little golf here and there, and he's one of my favorite professional athletes. Couldn't be a more normal, well-balanced guy. Turned out to be a great broadcaster and a terrific coach, and won the NBA championship in his rookie season. And now we find out that he's a complete fraud. Because as he sits on the sidelines with his back surgery being botched, the Warriors are 19-0 without him.
How about that? And now the league is talking about giving credit for these 19 victories to his assistant coach, Luke Walton, who will be a head coach at some point. But Steve is the guy who put this whole thing together there.
Yeah, but kind of typical Kerr, right? Kerr's been going, of course, give him the wins. Every other coach were going, well, the rules are the rules. Kerr's the best guy.
He's a class act.
And we certainly hope he's okay because he had a back surgery where he ended up having complications from it and I believe was leaking spinal fluid. You don't want that.
No, that's a problem.
So he is still on the mend from that, and you know, I got to check in with him again. Pernell McPhee loved beating up on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. You can catch up on that. All over Bears coverage, wherever you get that today, and read Adam Hoge's blog as well. Kev, where do we get Adam Hoge's blog?
WGNradio.com/Bears.
But let's talk a little free agency before we get to Cap's question. You can call in. Is John going to play? John is going to play? John standing by for Stump Cap in just a second. So baseball free agency, what are the Cubs and White Sox looking at, if anything?
Well, I don't think the Sox are going to be anywhere near as active as they were a year ago when they and the Padres both stole the offseason with some, you know, really, really big-time moves. I do think they're going to try and make a couple deals. They've made a VCL Garcia available. I think they're ready to move on from him. Not that he's going to bring a lot back, but it would open up right field for Trace Thompson. I don't think they're going to move one of their big two starters in Sale or in Jose Quintana. Obviously, that's where you would go if you were trying to bring in a motherload of young, you know, big-time prospects. But Quintana, maybe. I don't see any way they trade Sale, and I agree with that decision. He's too good. You hang on to him. For the Cubs, everyone keeps writing, I think it was in the Tribune yesterday or Sunday, that they're going to be, you know, one of the main players for David Price. I don't see it. I think they're going to take the available resources they have, which will be about $25 million or so to spend this offseason, not including anybody they might trade, which would give them more payroll. I think they're going to spread those around on a center fielder, two other starters, and try and get their bench even stronger. Because as Jed Hoyer told me yesterday, he said, look, it's the little moves that everyone goes, yeah, big deal. Those are the depth moves that at the end of the year you go, wow, that guy won a game and that guy won a game, and that's what adds up to 97 wins. So I do not see them signing David Price or Zach Greinke. Some do, I don't.
So what would the top three of the five look like in the rotation?
I think they're either going to sign John Lackey away from the Cardinals, Jeff Samardzija, one of those types, Mike Leake, somebody who's like a number three starter, and then I think they're going to try and use their mother load of young players and trade somebody to get a what we call a controllable starter back. That's somebody that is not a free agent, you're not paying based on past history, but you're getting a younger guy who you control that can't go free agent for a couple of years at least, if not longer. A guy like Carlos Carrasco in Cleveland, Danny Salazar in Cleveland, they're looking for young outfielders. Maybe a guy like Jorge Soler. They would love to get Sonny Gray from Oakland, but I don't think Oakland's going to part with him. And if they did, it would cost you a ton. Schwarber and more, somebody like that, they won't do that. They're talking to Shelby Miller, about Shelby Miller with the Atlanta Braves. Also, the Braves have a young kid named Julio Teheran. So one of those types will be the guy I think you find pitching in Chicago.
Give me a 30-second answer to this. I like Samardzija. I think everybody likes Samardzija, but he's never broken through. At what point does he become a big-league dominant pitcher?
Well, he's had his best success when he was working with Chris Bosio, the Cubs pitching coach, who just got a 2-year extension of his contract, and he did not click for whatever reason with Don Cooper, the White Sox fine pitching coach. So you would think bringing him back to the National League where he had success, that this might be the time he would break through. I don't know if he's ever going to be a number one starter. He has great stuff. I just don't know if he's ever going to get to that level. But I do think he can be a very, very solid starter, and he's a wonderful guy.
All right, remember, Kev will ask you a question. Don't answer it. We'll give John a chance to say whether or not you'll get it right.
Jump the gun.
Yeah, you really do. You're kind of jumpy.
I get a little premature.
Yeah, you're jumpy. Yeah, premature is a problem I've heard about you. All right, Kev, what is the question?
All right, Cap, this is a layup, especially for you. On December 1st, 2003, bidding began on a particular baseball. What was the significance of this ball?
All right, stand by. John, let me go to John on this. John, yeah, I think I know what you're going to say, but what's your answer?
Good morning, everybody. Happy holidays
and to you.
Everybody. I'll say right. I'm going to go with Cap.
I like your chances here. All right, Cap, what's the answer?
Well, you could go a number of ways because, you know, there were times they were auctioning off the Barry Bonds home run ball, the Mark McGwire. But I'm going to go off the charts here, and I'm going to say that was when my friend Grant DePorter was able to purchase the Steve Bartman ball from the Cubs 0-3 game.
That's exactly right, Cap. You've won nothing, but John is a big winner. And, Ross, what would I give John?
A Lou Malnati's Pizza, maybe?
Oh, you'll give him a Lou Malnati's Pizza. Sure, 1-800-LOU to go. Lou Malnati's.com. What else, Ross? What else should I give him?
You know what else we can give John?
What should we give him?
We can give John a...
Take your time. We're here till 10.
A pair of tickets to see award-winning actress Carol Burnett.
Come on!
Those light things I saw on your desk when I was snooping around there.
Come on, Carol Burnett tickets?
Carol Burnett
Seriously.
Tickets. She's at May 20th at the Chicago Theater in an evening of laughter and reflection where the audience gets to ask Burnett questions and receive spontaneous answers from Carol.
All right, and how do people get tickets to that?
Well, you can get tickets starting this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster or the Chicago Theater box office.
That's a great prize. Congratulations, John. And Cap, again, you get nothing and you like it.
Why don't you give John one of the Christmas light things I saw on your desk?
Because they're all gone? Because you stole them all.
I only took one.
It's David Kaplan, and he's available for birthday parties and bar mitzvahs. And we're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
This is brought to you by Ray and Raymond Chevrolet and the fine people at Ray and Raymond Chevrolet, sponsoring a scholarship, $5,000 scholarship for the Kid of the Year. That selection will be made possibly as soon as this week. So it's exciting.
Who's doing the judging on that?
Mary and Dave. Mm. Yes.
Dave better be here and not conveniently absent.
He'll be back tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah. So you guys will go through our 50 or so Kids of the Week.
I only have a couple days. I need like a week or a month.
Yeah,
There's so many good candidates.
Yeah.
No.
I'm going to be off next week, so I don't think you'd want to announce it when I'm not here.
Man.
So, now I suppose we could push it back till just before Christmas.
Yeah, well, what sponsor gift?
Do we have the sponsor booked at some point?
Yeah, that's going to be one of the last. So the week of December 21st, we're going to have everybody in studio. The sponsors will have the kid. And
that's why we need to pick the winner soon.
The chick. Yeah, I need to organize that, Mayor. I need time.
Yeah, it's really Kevin. It's Kevin that's
time.
Pushing you.
Better give me those.
Within the next week, it's got to be.
Well, a $5,000 scholarship, that's a big deal.
Big time.
Big deal.
Big
deal. As I say, each week when we do Kid of the Week, we remind you that you can send in submissions of your kid you know, kid you've heard about, kid you think we ought to know about. What do you do to enter?
You go to WGNradio.com, go to the contest page. There's a Kid of the Week form, real easy to fill out. That'll get sent our way. Or you can just email us, SteveCochranShow@WGNradio.com.
And you'll find out when you hear Kid of the Week, this is your first time hearing it, that these kids are all doing great things. And then you'll measure them against your own kids, and you'll be very disappointed in them. At 6:42, let's meet Olivia Smith. Good morning, Olivia. How are you?
Good.
How old are you, Olivia?
I'm 10.
So that's, what, fifth grade?
Yeah.
And what do you like best about fifth grade?
I don't know.
Well, take your time. We're here till 10.
It's all pretty good.
It's all pretty good. So you like school. Yeah, you like getting up in the morning. You like going to school.
Some days. Some days I do. Some days I don't.
Is it tough to wake up? Is that the biggest trouble?
Yes.
Do you have an alarm clock?
Nope. I have my mom to wake me up, though.
Does she sing songs?
No, she just turns the lights on and says, Olivia, time to get up.
Oh, because my mom would sing songs. She'd go, Steve, it's time to get up because you have to go to school today. Today's when you have to get up because the bus is coming pretty soon. What do you think of that song, Olivia?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
She's nice.
She's a very sweet kid.
Yeah.
I don't remember what song my mother sang. I do remember her singing.
Get up.
Yes, I think it was the Get Up song. Get up, you're going to be a failure and you'll end up in show business. I think that was the song. At least that's how I remember it. Olivia, when you grow up, when you get out of school, you go on to college, you do whatever you're going to do with your life, what are you going to be? How are you going to change the world?
I'm just going to try to keep doing what I'm doing now and hopefully help lots of families in Haiti.
And we'll get to that Haiti piece here in just a second, but you sound like a very nice kid. Well, how come you're such a nice kid?
I don't know.
Is it your parents? Your parents influence you?
Probably.
Yeah? Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have a younger brother, Landon, in kindergarten, mm-hmm. and I have an older sister, Madison, in seventh grade.
Which one's your favorite?
Madison.
All right. Okay, there you go. I thought you could tell me it depends on the day. Well, let me tell people what you did here, and then you can fill in the gaps. You were asked as part of a fifth grade project, an assignment, to come up with a project that demonstrates leadership in two ways, and you decided to connect with something called Vision 90. What is Vision 90?
Well, Vision 90 is a group of girls, and they went to Haiti. And they saw that since the earthquake happened, they saw that all these families were living in tents and that they needed some black homes.
Yeah.
So Vision 90 is 90. It's called, well, the, like, slogan kind of thing.
Yeah,
90
sure.
90 homes, 90 days with 90 families.
90 homes, 90 days, 90 families.
Yeah.
And the original goal was to raise a couple of $100 to help finish a house. The class project goal to build one home costing $6,500. Well, how much did you raise?
We have built already one home, but we've raised up a total of $6,600.
How about that? How about that? The goal was $200. They raised $6,600. It's a pretty nice return. Nice job. So you got one house built and you want to build another one, right?
Yeah.
I hope you get a chance to go there someday because I think you should really see the good work that you're doing.
Yeah, we are. We're going in January.
Wow, that's exciting. Well, you're a good kid. I'm proud of you. And I know your family is as well in your school. Do you have any friends or any teachers or anybody you want to say hi to this morning?
Well, I think my assistant principal, Mrs. Holtman, is listening, so... Hi, Mrs. Holtman,
uh-huh.
And I think my teacher, Mrs. Gargani, might be listening. Uh-huh. So, hi, Mrs. Gargani, if you're listening. And then if my friends are listening, hi, friends.
There you go. Very nice. And this is a very popular show, so I'm sure all of those people were listening.
Yeah.
And if they weren't, I'd like you to get me a list of their names.
Okay. Will do.
Well, she's awesome. You're a great kid, man. Thank you for doing what you're doing, and I hope you have a really, really great Christmas. And maybe when you get back from Haiti after the trip in January, you call us and tell us how it went.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Hold on, okay?
If she has time.
Yeah, I know. She's busy. She's got a lot going on.
Is that fifth grade?
Yeah, fifth grade.
I didn't even know where Haiti was in fifth grade.
Who are you kidding? You didn't know where it was in college.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, she gets inspiration to do the right thing, and she does the right thing. And, you know, the thing that this reinforces, too, is kids have big hearts, and kids want to help. Not all kids. They're not all special, like young Olivia. But kids want to help. But you gotta give them some guidance. That's why teachers are so important, and assistant principals, and all these folks, and moms and dads who go, well, what if we did this? And what if we did this together? And once you turn on that engine to help kids care, they take over.
Imagine what she's going to do for the rest of her life now. Wow.
Well, she's raising $6,600 at the age of 10.
Yeah.
So by the time she is an adult, let's say 25 or 30, mm-hmm. she'll raise over $1 billion, and that is an actual
number.
She'll
raise a ton of money, yeah.
John, is that accounting accurate?
It is, and I was in Haiti, which is just north of Kankakee.
See, that's the other thing. John doesn't know where it is either. We're gonna hook John and Mary up with Olivia on a geography test.
There you go.
She'll be our boss someday anyway.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
7:10 in the morning, and show number 300, make it 545. Show number 545 continues. You can follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show. We're very close to 10,000 likes on Facebook, and you know how needy I can be. So if you go on Facebook today and you like this show, what are we at, Ross?
9,988.
So we need 12 likes?
12 people.
Let's see if we can get 12 likes in the next 5 minutes.
All right.
If you sign on to Facebook and you like me, you really get nothing for it other than the joy that you got us to this figure of 10,000. And by the way, 10,000 likes, that's none to me anything.
Right.
It's just cool.
It's very cool.
But there's fun stuff on there, and Russ's new video was up. Which, by
the way, talk about that video.
He's a very fun director.
Yeah, talk about the video, because Orion Samuelson has reached a point in his life where he just doesn't give a rat's butt about a lot of things.
Correct.
And doesn't have to.
Yeah, that's true.
And yesterday he expressed his disdain for online shopping.
Yes, he's explained many times that he does not like online shopping.
Right. So if you go on Facebook and like us, because as I mentioned, I'm needy.
Right.
You'll also be able to see Orion's starring role in a video. Does this have a title?
Hashtag Cyber Monday.
Yeah, and it's kind of Orion versus the Internet.
Yeah, I mean, Orion versus the Internet, Orion versus Andrea. Andrea kind of plays the main antagonist in the feature.
It's got a real horror film kind of feel to it.
It does. Right. Almost as if when I built it off of an iMovie template, I selected the horror movie template.
Yeah.
Don't give away too much.
He's like Othello and I'm like Iago.
So,
if you want to put a little Shakespeare to it.
I found out something yesterday. It turns out even if you have an American Express Platinum card, you can't just poke the monitor with it and have it be accepted to buy something.
No. That might have been my favorite part.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's a video of Orion's disdain for Cyber Monday in a world where phones aren't used to call people.
Yeah. Yeah, and he does. Orion does disgusted face as well as anybody.
He really does. It's up on our website as well, WGNRadio.com. It's on WGN Radio's Facebook page, but you should check it out at Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show because you're needy.
Yeah, how many likes do we have now?
I believe. Hold on. Let me hit refresh.
We lost 3.
Screen refreshing.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, 10,000. Yeah, they're done.
Or 10,000?
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you, guys. Again, it means absolutely nothing in the big picture of things, but I can now look my mother in the eye and go, listen, I know you're disappointed in me on a lot of levels, but I had 10,000 likes on Facebook, and she'd go, I have no idea what you're talking about, and
yep.
I'm still disappointed in you.
Yep.
So that's great. We're at 10,000 likes. Let's see if we can get it to 20,000 by 7:15.
That's a very efficient audience.
Greatest audience ever. That's all I'm saying. We've got some gifts for the tech lover on your list coming up in a little bit. Anybody upset about the fact that the new iPhone 7 is not going to have a headphone jack?
What?
Yeah, no headphone jack on the new iPhone 7. That's the rumor.
Bluetooth only. Huh?
I'm guessing Apple's probably got a line of Bluetooth wireless headphones they're going to be willing to sell you with a new phone.
Mm-hmm. I just got the 6S.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't it connect? Well, we can talk about it later. But isn't it going to connect?
We'll talk about it now.
Okay. Isn't it going to connect with the what do they call it? The lightning cable? That isn't it everything just going to go in there? I think that's the plan.
But where will you hear what you want to hear privately?
The jack.
Your jack will turn into the same as what like your phone charger is. That same jack for an iPhone.
Oh, so it'll have a lightning charger on the headphones.
Right. So everything would just be in one port.
But it's still. Apple's going to sell you the headphones.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll
I got
need
it.
New
okay,
headphones.
Okay. So it's not just Bluetooth headphones.
Right.
They could be wired headphones, but it'll have a lightning jack.
Apple's going to put a cochlear implant in you.
How do you know they haven't already?
That's right.
I don't like that word lightning jack. It sounds like we're going to get, like, zapped.
Do you know,
scary.
Speaking of that, though, you can have your, you know, we have, you know, you have an ID badge and you have to hold it up or a toggle, whatever, to get into a building or a garage or something.
Yeah.
They have now, you can implant that in your hand. I'm not kidding you. So like if an identification, you know,
what
you
if you change garages or residences?
Well, then it's stuck in your hand.
That's idiotic.
I think it's a painless thing.
It's idiotic. All right. So see the Orion video, Orion versus Andrea and the Internet at Facebook. Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, on Twitter at Cochran Show. All right, I think everybody's got to buy a gift for somebody that's tech-related, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, we're living that world, so. And I love gadgets. I'd like to get a new phone every day or two. You know, except for the fact you got to load everything on a new phone, and then you keep it, and then just when it gets to be like, oh, I like it, it's cool enough, then you go, oh, there's cooler stuff out there.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit of a phone junkie. So. And Kevin, I come from a world, you may not be aware of this, but in the 70s when dinosaurs roamed the earth, there was a thing called a rotary dial phone.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it was attached to a wall. Sometimes, obviously, in offices, it would be at a desk. And there would be a cord, like a twisty cord. Mm-hmm. And then you would, you know, play with the cord while you were, you know, talking on the phone, and you twist it.
You'd twist it like when you were tweeting and posting stuff.
Yeah, there was no tweeting. But you would twist the cord, and then your dad would yell at you because the cord was all twisted then. But if you wondered, like, which of your friends were rich, they were the ones that had the extra long cord because you had to pay for that from the phone company.
Hey, Dad, what's a cord?
A cord would be something that connects you to the world by way of cords. By way of cords? Yeah.
The rich people also had extension phones.
Yeah, extension phones where you could pick up the phone and you could, like, if you picked it up quietly enough, you could listen in on what other people were saying that wasn't your phone call.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So that's what the world was like then. Now the world's much different, and I think all of you need a Zolt laptop charger. A Zolt laptop charger can charge a laptop, a tablet, and a smartphone all at once, and it fits in the pocket of your jeans. The Zolt laptop charger plus $99. You can find it at Zolt, Z-O-L-T. Just Google that. Let's see, a narrative clip. Wearable tech isn't just for your wrist anymore. The narrative clip is a camera designed to go on your clothing for hands-free photo and video moment capturing. By the way, has you guys seen the little three-year-old dude on a skateboard with a GoPro on his head?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's tremendous. Mm-hmm. How about NASA's sleep-promoting LED light bulbs? Developed for astronauts in the International Space Station to help regulate their body's own natural circadian rhythms. The light from the bulb stimulates melatonin production and helps get better sleep.
It doesn't keep you awake?
No, helps you sleep. You have a light, a perp light in your face? $59.99. You order it from Sharper Image.
My circadian rhythms are once every 17 years.
No, that's the cicadas. The circadian rhythms would help you sleep. The cicadas would keep you awake.
Okay.
Will you keep an eye on John?
Is that north of Kankakee?
How about Lander Nev cables? Until everything's wireless, cables are still a necessity. These have reflective technology, so you can find them in the dark, and the cables themselves are made of flat nylon that prevents them from tangling in your bag or in your pocket. So if you have to bring a cable along, they're easy to fold up and store away. Kinsey, you guys are excited about that gift. Oh, Mom, you got me cable. Right. That's great. You got me cables? Oh, that's great.
More wires. Something else to lose.
The Audie's EL8 closed-back headphones are the best sound experience you'll find. The company received glowing reviews when it debuted the model earlier this year. It's like wearing a concert on your head. If the tech lover in your life's an audiophile, these are tremendous. By the way, they're only $700.
Oh, a bargain.
What does closed back mean?
I have no idea.
The back is closed?
Yeah, probably, but I don't know where the back is on your headphones. How about the Razer Hacker Dev Kit? The virtual reality market's still pretty new, but the Razer Hacker is an open source virtual reality head-mounted display that makes you look like a complete dork, but you're able to go full virtual reality as the science exists right now. Huh. Ninebot One Wheel. Wasn't that a band called Ninebot One Wheel? This is a personal transporter. That sounds pretty cool. It's a personal transporter. You know, you've seen these hoverboards that aren't really hoverboards, but they're skateboards that they work like, what's the thing? That,
Segway.
It's kind of like Segway. Yeah, they work like Segway. Without the handle. Those are weird. Have you seen those?
The Segways?
No, not the Segways. These, the new ones.
The hoverboard deals.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're cool. They're cool, though.
They are pretty cool.
A lot of people have them now. fight the thing.
The Ninebot One Wheel goes 14 miles an hour. It's a self-balancing scooter that makes you be able to zip up and down the block faster than any current gyroscope-enabled transportation.
Where are you?
What do you mean?
In the thing.
Space.
That's five different Ninebot One Wheels.
So are they?
Are
they life size? So
you're
inside.
No, you sit in. You sit in something that looks sort of like a donut, and it's got an opening in the front so you can see where you're going.
It's like an inner tube.
Yeah,
I would fall on that for sure.
How about the Google Chromecast? A lot of y'all had that. You don't have this one. $35 for Google Chromecast. This is where everybody wants something other than what's coming out of their TV. You know, for the extra stuff you have to do for all the, you know, this box, that Apple TV, Google Chromecast, just turn on your friggin' TV.
Yeah.
The Chromecast is great.
Chromecast is great.
It's real easy to use.
Google, where do you write on the Google Chromecast?
All you need, no, that's not a scooter. All you need is a television with an HDMI port and a smartphone or a tablet. It's one of the easiest no-regrets tech gifts. And explain what it does, Kev. What's Chromecast do?
So let's say you're watching YouTube on your phone. Mm-hmm. You can easily just hit a button on your YouTube app, and it'll pop it up onto your big screen TV. So instead of watching on your tiny phone, you can actually watch on your 50-inch or in your family room.
Oh, that is good.
So you take programming that's on your phone, and you put it on your big screen.
Yeah.
How much quality do you lose?
No, not a lot. Okay. As long as you have a strong Wi-Fi signal, you're good.
What about text messaging? Can you have that on your big screen?
I think you can if you want it on there.
Can you do that if you're in a different room and someone's watching TV and then pop it up and scare them?
Yeah, you can actually, because I've been, where people will basically start fighting and trying to put different music videos or different videos on the screen.
You know, Kevin and Ross, back in the 70s, we would do this thing when garage door openers first came out where you would open your neighbor's garage door.
Oh, that's classic.
That was great.
Yeah. Or remote start.
How about the Power Curl Mini? This is not a curling iron. This is a quick stocking stuffer. Little guy's been on the market for a while. It keeps your USB cable neatly wrapped and out of sight when it's not in use, and plugs right into a wall socket sort of thing. I believe you can buy these at Walgreens if you're interested.
Oh,
the Solo Shot 2, $399. The Solo Shot 2 robotic camera system allows a photographer to follow and record a subject in motion up to 2,000 feet away. So if you're a stalker, it sounds like this is for you. So that's 10 different tech items to throw out there. And you know what, Ross? I'll maybe have you post that for people that want to link to that.
Absolutely. We can post it up on your Twitter right now, at Cochran Show.
And you know, guys, in the 70s, if we had an article like this, we would take that page of the newspaper,
right,
and then we would make copies,
right,
and then we would distribute it to all the listeners' homes.
Okay. So would you make a copy by taking a photo of it with your phone and then distributing it?
728. We'll be back in just a moment here on 720 WGN.
Live from downtown Chicago, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran continued on 720 WGN, show number 545, and Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy joins us. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Hey, Steve. How am I? I'm a little busy and a little bit stressed out, but staying the course.
Yeah, sometimes that question is just a matter of course, really, and it probably isn't appropriate. But having said that, what's your reaction to the news of the day and this mayor's task force?
I think it's the best possible thing that can happen, because what I've been trying to explain to people, no real progress is the fact that communities across the country want civilian oversight to police departments. And they want outside agencies investigating police shootings. Here in the city of Chicago, we have both, and it's not producing the results that people want. In fact, we actually have a U.S. attorney, a federal investigation into the shooting, which resulted in a 13-month lag between the incident and the officer getting charged. And by the way, the U.S. attorney still has not finished their grand jury. This is the state's attorney who came forward. So at the end of the day, the system is not producing what the community wants, and as a result, it needs to be examined and changed. And this is something that I've been endorsing since I've been here, because while I have all the accountability in the world, as you can see, I haven't necessarily had the authority to do the things that in some cases need to be done. And this is probably the clearest example of that.
Well, I want to make sure people understand, including me, by the way, of how this works, because the Independent Review Board, as it stood now, or as it has been in place, the Tribune reported 28,500 citizen complaints, 97% with no punishment. The Independent Review Board, logically, would make me think you have nothing to do with the authority of that review board. Is that true?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And again, in this case, Steve, I'm not even privy to the investigation that's being conducted by the FBI and the U.S. attorney and the state's attorney. So IPRA referred this case, the Van Dyke case, up to the FBI, who's working with those two entities. And it's secret. I can't even, you know, people are asking me, would I do this, would I do that? And I can't even answer it because I don't know the circumstances of the investigation.
Well, the frustration that you have to feel in part is because I know for a fact, because I've done my homework, and you've been on the show many times as well, that you spent a lot of time in the last 4 years trying to build trust back up in the communities. And this shooting and this video in particular blows that trust sky high. I assume that's making you crazy.
Yeah, and it's very frustrating because all the progress that we've made, whether it's reducing complaints against officers, we just put out a press release on this last night. Our complaints by civilians against our officers is down almost by half in comparison to last year. And over the last 4 years, there's been almost a 70% reduction in police shootings of civilians. That's pretty significant. It's completely lost in what's happening here today because of one terrible incident or a couple of terrible incidents. We certainly have a ton more work to do, but the progress that we've been making is really going out the window. And one other thing, Stephen, I know I'm running on. Everybody talks about changing the culture of the Chicago Police Department. And I think that that complaint data and the police-related shootings, coupled with the methods that we've used in front of an international audience to handle the protests that have been taking place here, really speaks to a cultural change in the organization. Officers being punched, kicked, spit, thrown, objects thrown at them, and maintaining their professional stature the entire time. We've made something like 12 or 14 arrests the entire time.
Well, that's the thing, because the vast majority of the police department goes out of their way to do their job every day. And if I was a regular officer and saw that video and dealt with what the regular officers do on a day-to-day basis, the vast majority of them not getting citizen complaints, I'd be a little pissed off because all the work you're trying to do and your safety on the streets gets compromised. So I've heard Van Dyke described by some as a rogue officer. Is he a rogue officer or is there a problem in the department?
Well, look, I'm not sure what a rogue officer means. He's certainly an officer who has a history and a track record. The unfortunate thing is that the complaints against him, very few were substantiated. A number were unfounded. And I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I was just getting briefed on this yesterday, and he has at least five that were unfounded complaints. So it's hard to pin this down, especially when I think the last 5 years, for sure, any of his force complaints were handled by an outside component, IPRA, and they were not found to be substantiated. So you can't, I mean, there's obviously, where there's smoke, there's fire, that's the saying, and we have to have warning systems to bring this to our attention, which we actually do, but the question becomes, what are the results of that, and that's what we have to work on.
Who decides that he gets desk duty? Is that a union thing with the department?
No, that's actually state law. I'm glad you brought that up because people want to know what it is I could have done under this circumstance when Van Dyke, when I saw the shooting. Under state law, the only thing that I could do was strip him of his police authority and put him on desk duty. That's the only thing that I could have done. So after that, we had to sit and wait until such time as he became charged with a felony. And then we were able to put him into a no-pay status. So while I certainly have the accountability, I didn't have the authority to take the steps that the community wants us to take, and that may have actually been warranted. But the state law prohibits it.
And I want to make sure I understand you correctly. You seem to indicate that the U.S. Attorney's investigation is, in your opinion, and by way of what bogged this thing down for the year that it was bogged down?
This is not blame. What I need to make clear is that, to my knowledge, and I thought I heard Anita Alvarez say that there's been more than 80 people put into this grand jury, which takes an awful lot of time.
Sure.
So putting the case together behind the scenes like that is a very cumbersome thing to do. And they generally, the federal investigations take a lot longer than other ones. And this is a case that has now produced something where people's expectations are different than what they're seeing. And as a result, there's a lot of finger pointing going on. And honestly, I'm in a position with limited authority to change that.
I know
the mayor's task force is really the best idea, quite frankly.
Do you have any sense of what went on with, speaking of the grand jury testimony, with the Burger King video surveillance system and any of your guys being there and tampering with it?
The only thing that I know about this is that what I was told by my investigators who did an initial response, which was there was technical difficulties and they stopped doing what they were doing immediately. And then the second thing is the fact that Anita Alvarez articulated that it has been investigated and there's no evidence of tampering. That's what she said. And right. I'm not privy to the grand jury, so I can't answer that. But then also, I'm learning most of my stuff about this case, unfortunately, through the news media. And I heard a report this morning or last night, I forget, the days are kind of running together on me, that there was a forensic expert who has now articulated publicly that there was nothing on those tapes that indicated any sort of tampering.
I want to get Andre in here with a question on more news of the day before we let you go. And I got a Superintendent Gary McCarthy, and obviously we appreciate your time. But one of the overriding things, and I know you know this, is with the notion that no sound was used on any of the dash cams in the police cruisers, it can't all be some sort of technical glitch. That seems to be, I'm just speaking to common sense here, that there has to be some sort of choice being made, and that makes people think there's some sort of cover-up, along with the other news that is out there. And cover-up has got to be your least favorite words.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, again, here's a scenario, and it doesn't smell right. And we started an internal investigation on it, but we cannot proceed until after the criminal case is over with. That's the procedure. You don't want to compromise a criminal investigation to discipline an officer for not turning on an audio before they go out on patrol. It just doesn't make sense. So unfortunately, that's the system that we're kind of bound by right now. And it's policy and it's also law.
Superintendent, attorneys for another family involved in a separate police-involved shooting, the mother of, and family of Ronald Johnson, are holding a news conference this morning asking that dash cam video be released from this particular incident. So I want to know how you feel about the dash cam videos. Who decides if and when it'll be released, and do you think they should be released at all?
So we don't release evidence in ongoing investigations. That's the policy of the department. If that's going to change, then so be it. But right now, that's the policy. For instance, look at this. We have not released to anybody the evidence that we've used to charge Corey Morgan with the murder of Tyshawn Lee.
Right.
And we're not going to, because it can taint the jury pool. It can taint the investigation, which, by the way, is not completed. He's been charged, but the investigation is not over. So that's the policy of the department, and that's the way that we're going to proceed. And that's the law, actually, rebutting Freedom of Information Act, that the exception to the release is for an ongoing investigation. It's not my policy. So, I mean, you know, that's unfortunately the system that we're under.
Do you have some sort of timeline in your head on when you would announce, for the sake of the public, because the public's involved in your life at a different level now, different ways to operate your department, whether it's training with video cameras or community involvement? Is there anything in your head with that, or is it too busy to even think about that now?
Right now, we're just trying to get through what we need to get through in the short term. We'll take up those other issues as we move forward. Right now, I'm just caught in a conundrum of trying to get the facts out, what we can do, what we can't do, and what it is that we have done in regards to these issues, because the swirl has completely overpowered what the facts are regarding that. When that's done, we'll take a look at all the issues, and which, by the way, we've been doing on an ongoing basis, and whatever changes we come up with, we'll absolutely let the public.
Well, you know how I feel about what your men and women do every day, and you've been a cop for most of your life, and it's incredibly frustrating to see what happened, and we're all instant judge and juries when we see these videos. But right. By all accounts of this video, when none of us were there, this kid got mowed down in the street. And even if he was a bad kid and clearly he had a lot of problems in his life and no family and was failed at pretty much every turn in his life, it doesn't appear, to what we know, it doesn't appear he deserved anything close to what he got. So you've got 10 or 12 cops on the scene, whatever the number turns out to be. In your years of policing, Is there any circumstance that makes sense that all of them would put their own careers on the line to cover up for a guy who fired those shots by tampering with video or all the other accusations that are out there? Does that exist in the police department?
It's individual choice, Steve. I can't speak for what everybody would do. I mean, just like Officer Van Dyke, he's going to have to articulate what was in his mind when he did that. So, I mean, I can provide the training, I can provide the policy, and I can provide the discipline, which is what we've done to get those police shooting numbers down to where they are, which is what we've done to get the response on the data on the complaints against officers. But I can't articulate why individuals do things that they do, whether it's in the police department or outside. And all I can do is just stay the course and keep working on it.
When you saw that video for the first time, would you like to have gotten your own hands on the officer?
I mean, it was obviously very troublesome. I couldn't imagine what was going through his mind. I've, like you point out, been doing this for 35 years. I've been in countless situations where I could have, and some would say should have, fired my weapon, but I haven't. And I've recovered hundreds of guns in my police career. So, I mean, it's just, the whole thing is incredibly troublesome and tragic. And the circumstances of that young man's life, whatever issues he suffered growing up, typically it ends up in our hands and an even worse tragic situation than the young man grew up with.
I would echo from a member of the public's perspective that the amount of restraint the department uses when they deal with these types of protests is nothing short of remarkable, going back to NATO and all the way through this. And you don't know until you know, until you've walked in the shoes or the boots of a man or a woman that does this. And the vast, vast, vast majority of all big city cops are great cops who get into it for the right reason, who have good days and bad days like the rest of us. This obviously was more than a bad day for Van Dyke, and he'll deal with what he deals with. But the Tyshawn Lee thing and the work that your people have done and the emotion that they were obviously beset by, you as well, that you could have a kid killed by way of what appears to be his father's own ridiculous ties. It's a ridiculous job. I mean, you've got an incredibly important job, but a ridiculous job. And I know you said you're not leaving, but you must have had moments in the past week where you said, I've had enough of this.
I have those moments frequently, but then I go back to how important it is what we do. This is probably the most important time in policing in this country, and I've been in a lot worse predicaments. Trust me, Steve. At the end of the day, I believe that what we're doing is incredibly important. My role here in Chicago, and my role on the landscape of policing in this country. About my involvement as the vice president of Major City Chiefs Association.
Right.
It's important right now to have progressive leadership in policing, and we can't react knee-jerk to what's happening. We have to have policies and practices moving forward that moves policing forward at the same time.
When the Ronald Johnson press conference comes up later today, what does the police department need to do in response to the charges that they're making?
Unfortunately, Steve, this is going to be the same scenario where we are not in control of that investigation.
Okay.
That is being conducted by IPRA. And at the end of the day, we don't have any authority in that investigation. And whether or not the dash cam is released is something that's going to be decided and fought out in court.
Have you seen the Ronald Johnson video, if there is one?
I have.
And any comment on it?
There's a number of officers on the scene. Only one of them fires his gun. The young man... unfortunately, has a gun. And, getting into a confrontation with an armed individual is always a difficult circumstance. This officer determined that there was a danger to either himself or the fellow officers and fired a couple of shots and unfortunately led to his demise. I can't change that. And the circumstances of that will be investigated and investigated, and we'll see where it goes.
Appreciate your time and your candor. Do you still feel the mayor has your back, as you've said many times?
Well, as recently as yesterday, he said the same thing, so I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Get some sleep if you can. Thank you, and thank you for coming on and being honest.
Thanks, Steve.
All the best. That's Superintendent Gary McCarthy. And some of the, there's some new information there. in regards to the Independent Review Board and their authority over these and what the superintendent can do. Because of his position, the buck always stops with the guy in charge, whether it's the mayor, the superintendent, or whatever. But there are limited powers in all of those jobs, including Anita Alvarez's job. But they are the three-point people in this story, and the pressure will continue to be highest on the three of them going forward, fair or unfair. It comes with the territory. Anything strike you in particular that was troubling? Or, I mean, I thought he answered the questions, you know, honestly, from his viewpoint.
I thought he did, too. And you know, he answered a lot of questions, too, because he doesn't have the authority to say, you know what, I'm going to release this dash cam video. He has to be told to do it and was kind of cautious about whether or not he wanted that to happen. But in this particular case, we might see another dash cam video.
It sounds like that's possible, and possibly relatively soon, considering this. Again, just to review quickly, the delay seemed to be indicated by the police superintendent to be related to Zach Fardin in the U.S. Attorney's Office. We know the U.S. Attorney's investigations take forever. My understanding is those investigations should be independent, and any sort of delay granted by the state's attorney's office would be professional courtesy. Mm-hmm. But they can operate on a parallel line with whatever speed they operate. They didn't for this reason, but that would be an Anita Alvarez question that we'd have to ask, and we're efforting getting her on.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
literally, Hollywood. Hollywood, California. Good morning from L.A., Dean Richards. Oh, what am I doing? He's on the phone. Force a habit, kids. Good morning, Dean Richards.
That's how I roll. L.A.
Yeah. Which hotel are you in? Are you in the Howard Johnson's in Melrose?
It's Best Western.
Mm. Well, not best, I can tell you that. I've been in that hotel.
Ice machines on every floor, Steve. I don't want to brag.
What are you doing in L.A.?
I'm doing some interviews. I'm going to talk with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler a little later on this morning. They have that really funny new comedy that's called Sisters.
Is that a review?
Yeah, basically, I'm going to say that it is a review because I don't think anyone's going to complain that I'm giving it such a positive review. Really funny, really R-rated, really naughty, but not disappointing at all from Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Who, by the way, I guess I've maybe talked to them once or twice. Dean practically has an apartment with them, as he does with all A-listers. But they just seem delightful, especially Tina Fey.
Both of them, very, very nice, honestly. Tina Fey, when she hears WGN, lights up because she has such a Chicago connection, lived there for such a long time. Amy Poehler, also very nice. Maya Rudolph is in the film also, formerly of SNL.
And she's incredibly difficult in a diva?
She is very, very difficult. I think she's taken her Oprah impersonation to her head. Now, she's also super nice. You know, daughter of the late Minnie Riperton, has Chicago roots. Also really, really, really funny. So I'm looking forward to that interview. But check this out, what I'm doing later in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm going over to Burbank, California.
Yeah, it's beautiful this time of year.
Well, Burbank, you know, beautiful any time of year, mm-hmm. for my money. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a freeze warning here in the Los Angeles area this morning.
Mm, must be terrible for you.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
You come out to Los Angeles, you know, to get away from the bad weather, and there's a freeze warning.
Maybe God finally got to L.A. on the list of to-dos. Oh, that's where all the sinners are. I'm going to freeze them.
I'm going to freeze them to death.
Right, right, right.
Going to Burbank later on to the studio where Johnny Carson did the Tonight Show.
Oh, yeah, I was there, buddy.
In Burbank. We're going to do some filming there. We're going to do some things there because we're getting ready for the big launch of the Johnny Carson Show on our sister Nostalgia Network antenna TV on January 1st, full episodes of the Johnny Carson Show. So we're putting together some stories, and part of which will be like a little tour of, you know, where Johnny did a show. Apparently, you know, much of the studio is intact. The set's not there anymore, but the star where Johnny stood to do his monologue
Other very familiar-looking things from the old Johnny Carson show are all intact. His nephew now runs the Johnny Carson estate, all things Johnny Carson. He's going to kind of, you know, walk us through and give us a cool tour of it all.
We'll come back, talk about Amy Schumer's nakedness, Kim and Kanye looking for a name for the baby. Letterman is in the news, in case you're wondering if Dave completely disappeared. And speaking of Johnny, but is there a reason you sound like you're whispering? Are you in a room with strangers?
No, I'm not whispering at all. Do I just have
don't you guys sound like he's whispering? Is that because the walls are thin there at the Best Western? You don't want to wake up your neighbors?
I don't care. I've been playing my tuba most of the morning,
okay,
so I'm pretty sure they don't care.
I can't believe
talking on the phone. I didn't think, is this better? I thought I was talking at a regular volume, but maybe, you know, these hotel phones, God knows what they do to them.
Yes, so, that's very true. That's very true. I don't know that I've picked
really
up.
Really happy I have it up against my face right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know that I've picked up a hotel phone in the last 10 years because I'm not even... I thought they were a prop. I didn't even think they worked anymore. Hold the line. Stand by. And more with Dean Richards in just a second. Coming up on 8:17, Mary's back with traffic trouble spots, and I'm sure there's plenty.
There sure are this morning. The inbound side of the Kennedy at accident at Kimball has just been cleared. Hour 10 in from O'Hare, about 36 from the Edens, 32 heading out. Edens up to 36 inbound from Lake Cook Road. Inbound on the Eisenhower now, we're 20 from 53. 45 from Mannheim, 45 out to 53. Stevenson inbound 40 from the Tri-State, but an hour from 355. The Ryan's about 26 from 95th. Accidents southbound 53 is reported at Butterfield, so watch for that. Reportedly, all lanes are blocked and jammed on Lakeshore Drive from Bryn Mawr to Randolph. Traffic sponsored by McDonald's. McDonald's is making breakfast even bigger by making it all day long. Now enjoy a freshly prepared breakfast for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Celebrate all day breakfast with a free sandwich when you download and register the McDonald's app at mcdapp.com. Breakfast items vary by location. Mary Vanderbilt, WGN Traffic Central.
Wintrust Community Bank's Hour continues with Dean in just a second. WGNradio.com and the WGN Radio app. In just seconds now, we'll have the full interview with Superintendent Gary McCarthy. Where else can you find it, Ross Cochran?
It is currently on the website, WGNRadio.com,
okay,
and the WGN Radio app. It is being shared on the WGN Radio Facebook page, the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page, and both Twitter accounts in a matter of moments.
Okay. And Twitter is at Cochran Show. Another Christmas classic on the Steve Cochran Show. Crank this up. It's one of my grandmother's favorite. She loved Tupac. Yeah. I used to get off the bus at her house. She put a note out on the door. And it'd say, if Granny's house is rocking, don't come knocking. It's 8:22. Back to Dean Richards, live from L.A.
Yeah, thanks for that visual image.
So gross.
By the way, Dean.
I'm able to shake that for the rest of the day.
By the way, Dean, in the 9 o'clock hour, we have a blatant plug for the New Year's Eve show. But let's go live to John now for a plug for the plug.
You know, it's amazing. We do this every year, and the tickets are going so quick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed. So you can contact the Rouse Center. Go to rousecenter.org for tickets or call the box office directly at 815-356-9212.
Well, we'll have some music and some Rocky LaPorte in the 9 o'clock hour, and we're not even trying to disguise it. It's a blatant plug for New Year's Eve.
You know what I find amazing? Here in California last night, I'm on the Sunset Boulevard, and somebody comes up to me, complete, total stranger, and says, are you Dean Richards from WGN? I said, yes, I am. They said, maybe you can help me with something. I'm looking for something to do on New Year's Eve. I don't want to stay up late till midnight. I'm looking for, you know, some fun, something to do.
What'd you tell him?
I told him I didn't know of anything going on.
Well, it's good that you're listening today. If you get stopped by that same person or someone else like them, you'll now have an answer.
I will. I'll be able to tell them the Rouse Center for Performing Arts. I don't know what time the show starts. I know that it is going to be happening, and I don't have to stay up. I mean, this person doesn't have to stay up late, you know, until midnight.
No, it's New Year's Eve for people that don't want to stay awake until midnight, and because John added a 3 o'clock show without talking to me, it's New Year's Eve for people that don't want to stay awake until, say, 5:30.
So, again, tickets, the number is what?
That's 3:30 California time.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you can call the box office directly at 815-356-9212, rousecenter.org.
You would think with modern science and the Homeland Security Department, Kim and Kanye wouldn't be allowed to reproduce again, but in fact they are, and they're looking for a baby name?
Do you know that their baby is actually due on Christmas? How weird is that?
I don't believe the Pope will allow that.
That seems very odd to me. But they put the word out yesterday that they're looking for names for a new said baby. I've not heard. I don't think they've announced.
Definitely ask the Internet. If you want to know something, ask the Internet. And something, I'm sure there's no insults coming their way at all.
Yeah, check. Honestly, I don't really dig usually into the comment section of anything having to do with the Kardashians because, you know, I can only take so much hate in my life. So, you know, if anybody has any ideas.
Is it a boy or a girl?
I haven't heard if it's a boy or a girl. Honestly, I don't think it really matters to them if you give, you know, their current child is named North. Does it really matter if it's gender correct?
What if it's a girl, Bertha, and if it's a boy, Emmett?
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Emmett West.
Is this the first time a woman has carried to full term in her behind?
Yes, I believe medically science has never seen this before. Medical science, it's all new. What did Letterman do?
Letterman did something very nice. He donated his set and lots of different artifacts from the late night show to Ball State University. He did an appearance there the other night. He appears. He's got, you got to Google him and take a look at the ridiculously gangly white beard that he's now sporting.
Right.
I mean, you know,
it's like a cranky Amish guy.
It is like crazy beyond Santa Claus. He's got this beard now, and he appears at Ball State all dressed up, very nice suit, you know, the usual, very dapper looking, but donates the set. It's going to be part of what will be called the David Letterman Experience at Ball State.
Did he donate Biff Henderson stagehand?
I think he did donate. Many of the people, Paul Schaefer, I know, is on loan to Ball State. I don't know if he'll be there permanently.
Why is Amy Schumer naked on a calendar?
Why shouldn't she be?
Well, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
why shouldn't she be? She has posed a nude, and so has Serena Williams, for a calendar for tire manufacturer Pirelli Tires. For decades. Pirelli has put out collectible calendars of a variety of different images, and this year they decided to go with...
This isn't like the machine tools thing where it's, you know, it's Daisy Duke-looking women. This is like an artsy thing.
These are, well, you know, Serena Williams is a superb-looking athlete. I'm looking at the picture right now.
Yeah.
But the pictures in this calendar are average looking women, you know, not Barbie doll looking women, but a compilation of how women really look. And Amy Schumer said that she feels beautiful and she had no reservations about doing it. And it's available now.
Wherever Pirelli tires are sold, I don't know where you'd get it.
Ironically.
All right. So who's your first big star today?
Would be a Tina Fey, okay. Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph today. We're also interviewing the cast of this new movie that I saw last night that's called, let me look up the name again.
Obviously Krampus. Had a big effect on it.
It's called Krampus. Isn't that like an odd name for a movie? Take one of the scariest movies that you've ever seen and put a Christmas theme to it. It's a Christmas horror movie. That if you want to make sure that your kids wind up in therapy for the rest of their lives,
this is the answer.
Take the little kids to go see this one, where, you know, kids are killed by toys and creepy, you know, pulled by creepy looking elves. And
oh, that's great.
The movie starts off like National Lampoon's Christmas, you know, the Chevy Chase movie.
But it goes from fun to the wrong side of the tracks fast.
Darkest, weirdest, most bizarre, terrifying film. Toni Collette is in it. Adam Scott, who was on Parks and Recreations, Dave Koechner.
Adam Scott, isn't he the guy that hung up on us for an interview? Yeah, Adam Scott was on hold, and he decided he wouldn't wait through the break, and he hung up. Yeah, so does he get killed? I hope he gets killed in the movie.
I'll bring that up when I sit down to talk with him.
Yeah, Sarah. Tell him. No, please, feel free to tell him.
That'll be my first...
And tell Tina Fey we love her.
Yeah, before we start talking about your movie, Mr. Scott, a little settling of the score to go on for one, Mr. Cochran.
Thank you, buddy. Talk to you later. Get back safe. That's Dean Richards live from Los Angeles, and all the A-listers talk to Dean. He talks to everybody.
I'm so anxious to see that Tina Fey movie.
What's it called, Sisters?
Sisters.
Yeah, it
looks hilarious.
It does look funny. It's 8:20. I'm so glad to see the two of them breaking out of that whole Shakespeare thing they've been doing for years.
Right.
Finally getting into some comedy. 8:29, we'll get to the big story coming up. And Coach Q, as the Hawks get back home and hit the ice at the Madhouse on Madison tonight. Of course, you'll hear it here on your Blackhawks radio station, 720 WGN.
He's a Blackhawk wizard, you can't make that stuff up. A Blackhawk legend, in 5 years wins 3 cups. It's time for Coach Joe Quinville.
That's Coach Q.
On Cochran Show right now.
It's a little bit of John DeCosta's fine work, a tribute to The Who, which is Coach Q's favorite band. And John, are you a fan of The Who?
Yes, I am.
So that was an easy one for you.
Oh, it was. It was a lot of fun, especially it's for Coach Q. So
right. Now, has he returned any of your calls since you did that individual song for him?
No, he still doesn't know I exist.
Right. That's what you feel.
Well, yeah.
Okay. You feel like you're on the outside looking in?
I was. I was standing outside the United Center, and I couldn't get in.
Well, you need a ticket. That's really the deal.
Okay.
Coach Q will join us in just a second. And, of course, Coach Q is always sponsored by Hooters. You know, it's really, it's a way of life. Hooters, the original wing joint. And, Kev, I'm sure you'll have some probing questions as well.
Absolutely.
For Coach Q when he joins us in a second.
Sure thing.
What is the all-time record for points and the point streak record? It's Gretzky, right? Gretzky has it.
Yeah, his is something crazy. I don't think Kane's really even close. But for Kane, it's, of course, the American-born player's 19-game point streak. But I'll look up Gretzky's. He's still a ways off, though.
I heard 51. Can that be true?
Yeah, I think it's 52 maybe.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Wow.
Coach Q joins us. Welcome home, Coach.
Yeah, good. Good to be back.
And tonight, Minnesota, a team that's pesky, talented. You see a lot of them in the regular season. Wouldn't surprise me if you saw them in the playoffs.
Well, that 3-for-3, we'll see. I know that their division's tough, and, you know, looking at our side and the other side, you know, could be 5 in our division, and who knows what could happen. You know, one team might have to start out west, but that could happen. I mean, it's a, you know, one thing is Minnesota, they play the right way, they check, and they don't give up much, and they try to frustrate you, and they got some guys that can score, so it's a pretty balanced team.
They seem strong in all phases of the game. Is that easier or more difficult to prepare for a team like that?
Well, I think we're very familiar with them, and I just think they're familiar with us. I think they got an idea that they're respectful to try to kill our rush game, and they're good off the rush as well. And you know, they got some guys that know how to work the power play. Got some guys that know how to kill penalties, but they don't give up much. They probably is the stingiest team as far as eliminating scoring chances, and so it's tough to manufacture stuff against this team. And you just don't want to get frustrated. And you want to stay patient and stay with the game plan, and eventually, hopefully, get paid off. But it's a it's very disciplined team as far how they approach the game.
How'd you feel about the road trip?
I liked it. I know we did some good things. You know, in fact, we almost got points in every game. The Vancouver late goal we gave up, certainly disappointing. You know, would have liked to have come out of the 2 points on Saturday night. But some real positive things. Some way more balance to our team game. Kaner and his line continue to be impressive, and you know, some good things in the back end as well. Getting more balance there, just like the lines up front.
Kane with, I think it's 19. Is that where he's at now? 19 straight games with at least 1 point. You know, it's tough to stay in the zone for 60 minutes, let alone for 19 games. Does the puck look bigger? Is he just super confident right now? What do you make of this?
Well, he's got the puck a lot, and I always find that when he has the puck, good things are going to happen, and his line mates are working well with him, and they've had a number of shifts each and every game in the offensive zone where they basically are going to get some good looks at him. They, you know, they generate the momentum of the game on our side, and they you know, they sustain a lot of pucks with their sticks as well. So there's his patient level is as good as any player in the game. He's thinking shot, but they're respectful for his passing ability as well. Certainly drawing a lot more attention from our opponents than in past years. But at the same time, he still finds a way to get two or three great chances a night for four or five good looks as a line a night. He's just tough to contain, and we've been playing him quite a bit because, you know, it's almost like every time he's on the ice, he's in the offensive zone. He's not getting taxed as far as going up and down the ice or spending quality time in our own end. So it's a, it's been a nice watching him play.
Here's the deal. Defensively, the Wild are struggling. They're banged up. They're a really good team, as we talked about, but you're catching them at the right time. But, you know, it's the National Hockey League, man. Some teams can surprise you any night, can't they?
Well, there's no easy games. I always find this is a tricky game too, as well. Coming back here at home, first game after a long trip, but you know, Minnesota and us, we know it's going to be tight, not a lot of room, and they're going to be keeping an eye on Kaner and that line as well. So it's a it'll be a good game for us, good test. We'll see how we respond.
And Gretzky's point streak is 51, Steve.
51, Coach.
50. I remember that was a couple of years ago. I probably was victimized in at least a couple of those games.
What was he like to play against?
He was quietly go about his business, and at the end of the night, he'd have 3 or 4 points. He just had the puck, and his playmaking ability was so, and patience and having the puck, and it was so smooth. You hardly would notice it. That's how good he was. And subtly, he'd get 2 or 3 points every single game. And some nights he'd get one of those 5 or 6 nights. But he was, he was a special player that, I get to play against him. I remember the first game we played him in a junior A game in Windsor against Sault Ste. Marie. And he was, didn't even know much about the kid. And we won 6-5. Gretzky got 5 points. And it's almost like, okay. And you didn't even really hardly notice him, but you did notice him because he was nobody could make plays like he could.
I think unlike other athletes who are the greatest of all time in sport, I mean, Michael Jordan was spectacular and you knew where he was all the time. But what you're describing with Gretzky, I think that's spot on from a fan's take as well. But there's nobody like him. I mean, he wasn't particularly fast. He certainly wasn't particularly big. But it seemed like he was in the right spot on the ice every single time.
Yeah, you get the right two athletes for me as well, as far as guys that make it look easy, fun to watch, special players, special human beings, great for each other's sports, and just they were so smooth, and the anticipation, it was at the different levels, and they knew what was coming next, and nobody had that. Anticipation of all the great players. I thought those guys had different levels of knowing what was coming.
Dave Ennett's on the road with Northwestern basketball. Kevin's here. Say hi to Coach Q.
Hey, Coach Q. How you doing?
Good, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm doing good. And by the way, Gretzky owns three of the top four longest point streaks in NHL history.
Of course he does.
I want to throw that in there. Coach, yeah. I wanted to ask you about your captain. Mr. Taves has been getting into quite a few scraps lately. I think three in the past month here. Is this something he's kind of gone out and set out to do, is bring a different side to his game? Or why do you think this season's a little bit different than what we've seen in the rest of his career?
I'm going to say each incident totally stands alone. And I think in New Jersey, I think that was a probably didn't like the way we were playing, frustrated, was upset down early in the game. The other ones were one was a response to our guy getting hit in St. Louis. The other one, you could argue, was a fight with in Anaheim. Mm-hmm. So, I think Johnny you know, I don't think he it's premeditated. I don't think we want him to fight. I don't think he, you know, he intends to fight. I think he knows what his role and his and what his strengths are. So we'll keep that in mind, and knowing that that's what we're looking for him to be doing, and keeping him on the ice is what we're all about. And, you know, if there's guys that need to fight, I think we, you know, maybe somebody else can do that for us. But
I just have a feeling that if somebody needs to fight, you'd prefer to go over the wall yourself.
Well, if Johnny, for Johnny, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's yeah, how you feel about Johnny.
But we got other guys that do that. But I think that, you know, your captain and your top players, I mean, you don't want to see these guys fighting. I was just reading about fighting, how much it's down from last year and how much it's down over the last 5 years. And it's, you know, I think that gradually each and every year, I think there's a deterrent in there to the game that, you know, fighting diminishes, you know, a little bit in little increments every year. And we're almost like there's some teams right now after 25 games haven't even gotten in a fight.
It has been a crazy 3-on-3 debut, and it certainly has proven to be right that the league got this right instead of going to a standard 5-minute and then, or a 4-on-4 5-minute and then a shootout. 3-on-3 has settled, I think, last time I looked, 2/3 of the games, which is great, and the Hawks have not had a shootout all season long. Now, it was working out great until the Kings game, but the Kings game was just end-to-end. And I thought Scott Darling did a really good job. I mean, he got beat on a breakaway, but I thought he had a really good game.
Yeah, he did. I thought he did a good job. And, you know, even though we're head 2-0, you know, it was a very intense game. And you know that L.A., you know, when they're behind, they're going to be pushing and everything's going to be going to the net. And, you know, they scored early in the third. And, you know, that certainly got them going again. And, you know, we gave up one late. And then it got crazy. You know, Johnny gets a breakaway in the dying seconds, and then overtime we have two good looks. They have two good looks, and then they scored. So it was a, you know, I think it really is exactly what the NHL wanted. I think the games have been exciting. I think we're 5-3 in the overtime games. Never a dull moment. They don't last very long. I don't even know if we've gotten to the halfway point of any of the games in overtime.
Right.
So it's a. No, I think it's, you know, and we're determining games being won by playing hockey as opposed to an individual skill.
So I assume you like it as well.
The whole league has been happy with the results of it, the excitement, the fans got to be loving it.
What about you? Do you like it?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. You know, I think that the personnel we put out there and what we're looking to do, I think there's still a room to get better and to be more educated as a team or as a staff to do different things. And but certainly, like we like our options of who's going over the bench next.
Sure. Hey, you know, now that I think about the Taze thing too, I mean, if you need me to come down and fight somebody, I'll do it for you. You know that.
We're way better off with you doing it.
Yeah, I think so, because you know,
absolutely.
I'll take a 10-minute game misconduct, and you can keep the talent on the ice.
Yeah, even if you got a game misconduct, we wouldn't miss you.
No, you wouldn't, not a bit. That's why he's the coach, man. He's right about all that. Last question. Do you wish you could go to the circus one year?
No, I don't mind the trip. I mean, it's...
No, I know you don't mind the trip, but every year you get screwed out of the circus.
Yeah, but, you know, the circus, you can always go to a circus.
I just picture
the circus in Vegas, Cirque du Soleil.
I just picture you with a big cotton candy sitting in the front row cheering the elephants.
I've done that. Been there.
Was that the circus?
Yes, a long time ago with the kids.
All right. John DeCoste, last question for Coach Q. This is the guy that did your song, by the way, Coach.
Yeah, Coach, I just wanted to ask, do you think the Minnesota Wild's defense is as stingy with goals as you are with compliments about a song that I wrote for you?
You did an amazing job. Great job.
Yeah, a little late great now,
job.
Pal.
Great job.
He's tough when he's not in the room with you, isn't he, Coach? So
there you go.
Hey, man, all the best, and looking forward to the fun tonight. I'll see you out there this weekend.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, you bye. Coach Q is going to punch you in the face.
Oh, you took a little attitude with Coach Q.
He's going to get a 10-minute misconduct. He can't afford it.
Coach Q is going to come after you.
10-minute misconduct.
Right now he's talking to his other coach. He's just going, I'm going to need 10 minutes. I'm driving over to the Tribune Tower.
Yeah. He knows I was kidding, right?
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
One of the great voices of all time, Dennis DeYoung. Dennis hasn't been on the show in forever. I got to call him today and see if he'll be on the show. I could check with Kevin and see if he's doing Eric and Kathy.
Kevin or Dennis DeYoung?
Well, Kevin, you know, he listens to Eric and Kathy, so he would know. But we love Dennis, and that's the reason we're playing that is because we're all going to go out on Lake Michigan today. Isn't that right? We're all going to take a little. Ross, who's up for a schooner? I don't even know what a schooner is. Yeah. Who's up for a schooner?
I'm not. I can say that I am definitely not up for a schooner.
Dave Foster joins us, a friend of Ross's, and somebody that's doing something pretty interesting. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Happy Giving Tuesday.
Thank you. Yes, we are excited about Giving Tuesday.
What do you do, Dave?
I have started an organization called Carpe Ventus, which means seize the wind.
Seize the wind.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of places I could go with that, but seize the wind is a sailing reference.
It is, yes.
And what do you know about sailing?
Sailing, kiteboarding, and windsurfing. I grew up sailing. Started when I was 10 years old. Love it. Love
getting
out on the water. In the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Oh, sure.
And actually,
a little windy
we built
there.
Ice boats to sail on the ice because, you know, half the year it's frozen. So
that actually sounds kind of cool.
It's very fun, yeah.
How fast?
Fast. You know, you can actually go faster than the wind because just the faster you go, the faster the wind is on the boat.
That would be the physics?
That would be the physics.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty technical.
100
miles an hour.
You ever get hurt?
Not doing that. We squeaked by.
How about emotionally? You ever get hurt emotionally?
So
the Carpe Venta organization, am I saying that right?
Ventus.
Carpe Ventus.
Ventus, sorry. Carpe Ventus organization, it spans upon your sailing knowledge and your experience to do what?
It does. We are working with existing mentoring organizations to get mentors and mentees out sailing. And that's really because one of the things that research has shown is that mentoring is one of the best ways to get young people out of generational poverty and some of the cycles of violence. So we need more mentors. We need on-ramps. Sailing is fun. It's a great community experience. So we are working on getting them out there. We've got a psychologist on our board who's developing with a teacher and some of our other board members, some really solid curriculum to get people into the experience of really getting deeper with some of the root causes of what goes on in terms of generational poverty. So,
I mean, a good guy.
We're just going to have fun. We're
going to might make you adult of the week. in doing this, where are the kids coming from?
They're part of these mentoring organizations. So,
like, give me an example of an organization you work with where you might have kids that you would offer this chance to.
Urban Life Skills is one of the ones that we've worked with, or the Amore Foundation, and so they pair up sometimes groups or sometimes individuals, you know, one to one mentor mentee. You know, it's not hard to be a mentor; it's just about being in somebody's corner, doing
how old are the
stuff
kids
that they enjoy. You know, with what we're working with, probably 10 to 24 is a good range. I mean, some of the kids that have come out with us are younger than that as well. A lot of mentoring organizations start pretty young with the
and these kids. Are poor kids. These are income and economically challenged kids.
Often, yeah.
So in that case, they probably would think, I'd never get a chance to go out on Lake Michigan.
It's a rare opportunity, you know, and sometimes there's some fear to overcome, but that's all part of it. It's about taking a good risk. It's about getting out there, you know, what we're doing.
And you guys know what you're doing.
We do, yes.
Yeah,
do.
So you're not interested in just going, hey, kids, let's see what happens.
Right.
Dave was telling the story about a couple of kids who didn't even know there was a lake. Not only had they not seen it, not only had they not been on it, they didn't even know it was there.
Yeah, this is actually sadly common. They could walk there. They're, you know, less than a mile away from the lake. They've literally never seen it. The teacher will show them a picture, and then these kids are like, whoa, there's an ocean by Chicago? No idea what's in the lake. No idea that it's there.
Just a completely different world.
It is.
What was it like to take them out?
You know, there's, like I said, there's some fear there to overcome. But afterwards, everybody was happy that they went. They had a great
experience. Well, once you get over that fear thing, everybody has. It doesn't matter who you are. And once you get over that fear thing where they transition from terror to smile and laughing, that's got to be the best part of your day.
Oh, yeah. We gave them a chance to, you know, chances to steer the boat. And, you know, that's a whole, you know, it's like, the boat is very responsive. So
that's when Dave gets scared. He turns the boat over to the kids. This is a unique idea. It's not something that you have a ton of people doing. So what sort of walls have you run up against where people are going, it's cute? You know, that type of thing? There must be some of that out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some question, well, do kids want to do this? You know, they're not familiar with it. It's not something that they maybe feel this need to do. But, again, it's an opportunity to be an on-ramp for mentors and sharing something that's fun, that's recreational. And, you know, in succeeding in life, there are lots of opportunity or challenges, like you said, to overcome lots of fear things, whether it's going to college, whether it's starting a job, whether it's starting a business. So we're weaving in some of those.
Well, and to use the overused cliche, it checks all the boxes, right? It's physically taxing, so there's exercise involved. Mm-hmm. It's emotionally charging, which is great. It's self-esteem building because you're doing something you didn't think you could do.
Yeah.
There's a group dynamic to it. I would think it's a huge win.
It is. Yeah. And you can be a part of it. That's the exciting thing.
Yeah. So how do we help you today?
Well, we have a campaign going on today. We're trying to get 1,000 youth and their mentors off the grid and onto the water in 2016. So that's our goal for this year. $50 moves one of these people off the grid onto the water.
Right?
Yeah. So you can give at carpeventus.com. That's CARPEV as in Victor, ENTUS.com. And
$50 takes care of one kid.
That'll get, yeah, one of the kids or one of the mentors, because we take the kids and the mentors together.
So I'm in.
It's building that relationship. And, yeah, you can.
And you can make the donation right online?
You can, yep.
Okay.
You can tweet, retweet, check out our Facebook page, you know, share your social influence. That's a phenomenal way to spread the word. And, yeah, it's been really exciting to see that happen. We started the campaign with an event a couple weeks ago, got 10% of the way there already. We got 110 pins off of this board that we made with Map of Chicago. We put 1,000 pins on there.
Sure.
Started moving them over every time we got $50, and we've got over 110 pins moved, and on our way to 1,000.
So I'll help you move some pins today.
That'd be awesome.
And when do you anticipate getting the kids for the next season in the water? Is it April, May?
The harbor's open May 1st,
okay.
So we will, yeah, we're going to start as early as we can. We just got a boat.
I bet you can't wait, right?
Oh, we are super excited.
Yeah.
We just got our own boat, and we've got lots of things lined up. We've got a phenomenal board. We've got volunteers lined up. We've got the boat. We're building partnerships with other sailing organizations. Really, the only thing standing in the way is just getting the funds together to get all the
it's a cool idea.
All the things
it's really
together.
Cool idea.
So.
And for anybody that questions why you would do it or, you know, the naysayers in life, my question to them would just be, well, why not try it? And what are you doing to help? Because we could use your help, that type of thing, right?
That's right. That's right. Come and be a part of it.
Yeah, I think
be
it's great. Man. I think it's great. You're a fascinating dude, you and your
Thanks.
Sailboat. Dave Foster, carpeventus.com, CARPEVENTUS, and on Giving Tuesday. We want you to hashtag when you throw out Giving Tuesday as well, but we want you to hit this with social media, and we want you to spread the word on Carpe Ventus, carpeventus.com, and let's get 1,000 kids on the water. What's the slogan you're using? Off the grid?
Off the grid, onto the water.
Good for you, man. Good for you. Proud of you, buddy.
All right.
I just met
so
you.
This is great.
Boy, I'm going to be disappointed if you turn out to be a disappointment. No, you're tremendous. You really are. So thanks for coming in, and Ross, you were right. He's a good guy.
I told you.
Yeah, but a lot of your friends are shitting a little dicey. This one's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Oh, let's take it up. Hey, hey, oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy
hey,
day.
Hey, oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Last time. Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
All during the month of December, we're going to have choruses and choirs and stuff like that there. Would it be choruses? Multiple choruses? Mm. Choirs and choruses, are they different?
Chori.
Let's go to John on this.
It's called chori.
Chori. We'll have chori. Multiple musicians and things. That was the organization, the school that...
I believe that was Oakdale.
Oakdale Christian Academy. Isn't that the one that had the kid that thought I was 75?
Yes. And they will be coming back. So we'll see if the Jenny cell's been helping. We'll quiz them again.
I love those kids, but I'm not letting them in unless my buddy's coming back. That kid back in here.
Brutal honesty.
Because that kid was so great. That kid couldn't have been more than 10 years old, and he was rocking. He was lean on me. He was moving his money maker. He was getting it.
They'll be here for the official Steve Cochran Christmas show, which is December 18th.
That's Friday. Our big Christmas special.
Right, so we're going to have all kinds of Christmas stuff.
We started planning that yesterday when I said to you guys at the post-show meeting, we're going to have a Christmas special, and you said, well, what's on it? I go, I don't know. We'll figure that out. But I know it's going to be a Christmas special.
It's
and by the way,
awesome.
That's how all the classic Christmas specials started.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Somebody sat in a room and went, you know what's on it? And you go, no, not really. We'll figure it out. It's 9:23. John DeCoste is here. John and I will be at the beautiful Rouse Center in Crystal Lake on New Year's Eve.
Gorgeous Rouse Center.
And the man who runs the Rouse Center and also will valet park your car. He'll babysit your kids. He wants you to have the full great experience at the Rouse is?
Richard Caranda.
Who joins us now. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, and I'll do it with a smile, too. We're happy to have you guys back. We're honored to have you guys back. You guys make Crystal Lake a great place.
And a testament to the great the fan base for the Rouse Center 2 years ago.
Right.
Was one of the worst blizzards in anybody's memory on New Year's Eve.
And, 9 inches of snow.
And we sold out both shows and turned people away. And by the way, when we turned people away, I mean John sent people back out into the storm.
I did. I said, could you show me the way home?
So, but it was a great, great night. And by the way, you know, you're a modest dude, but you have kind of an interesting theater background. You were an actor, right?
I was, and I'm a member of the Actors Studio, and I worked with Jimmy Lipton for about, 7 years, and he's a great guy. I owe a lot to that guy and the fine people back east. And but I got to tell you, I'm so overjoyed that Crystal Lake has... it's a wonderful place to live.
But how do you end up, how do you go Broadway to Crystal Lake? Did you fall in love with a girl and move back here? Is that what
you know? Pretty much. That's kind of how it happened. Yeah, we were on our way out to San Francisco to take a job, and a great guy by the name of Bill Dwyer called and said, "Hey, you've got a layover in Chicago at O'Hare. Why don't you come up to Crystal Lake?" So I went up, and it's such a beautiful town. You know, it was just ranked one of the. It was ranked number 10, the 10th nicest town in America.
Well, I backed that up. Sure.
And it was, it's been a dream, you know. It's one of the best places for the holidays. It's a great destination spot.
Well, you got a great staff, too. You know, over the past, 15 years, we've put this show up in a lot of places. And, frankly, some of the people weren't that nice. But your guys are always nice. They're always in a good mood. And they make New Year's Eve and make it fun for us.
And they put up with me. And they do it for you guys. They do it for
you. But here's something. You and I have talked about this. Richard disappears. Here's what Richard does. Richard every year, Richard is like, he doesn't want to be around me or something. Because he comes in, he couldn't be nicer, couldn't be more professional. He's got this great staff. At the end of the night, I'm looking for our post show. We killed it hug. And Richard's like out talking to the patrons.
Yeah, but in his defense, I don't really want to be around you.
That's a good point. No, it's a fair point all the way around.
It's across the board.
It's the aftershave.
If people haven't been to the Rouse Center and they've always wanted to go to the Rouse Center, talk about some of the shows you put up all year long.
Yeah, so, well, you know, and I got to thank you guys because, you know, we're a nonprofit. So,
are we. As far as you know.
Zing. So one of the things that we do with a lot of the proceeds that come out of the show, you know, we bring 25,000 kids into the Rouse every year, and we charge $6 a ticket. We give 39 local nonprofits access to the space at either mostly free or just at cost.
So literally a community theater.
It really is. And we program about 300 days a year. And it's not just, we've got great big acts like you guys or Bob Saget's coming in January. But we also have William Street Rep, which is the theater company.
Sure.
And they're putting on Glad Tidings now, and that's going great. But we also have the Nutcracker with the local Berkshire Ballet Theater Company. We bring in a lot of really great causes. And it's not, you know, everybody does well for themselves, but nobody's getting rich on it. Everybody's giving back to the community, and that's what it's really about. And, you know, when we reach out to you guys and we have you, we bring great partners like Three Chefs in, and they help you guys out.
Three Chefs.
Oh, my God.
Here's what happened last year, Andrea. I don't know if you know this, because I think you were at the early show last year.
I was at the early show, yeah, which was fantastic.
So last year, Kevin, by the way, was thrilled, because I don't know if you know this, Kevin likes food. And we were backstage last year, and suddenly giant fillets started showing up. I mean, like Flintstone fillets.
They were.
I mean, like tip over your car fillets.
You know, I came to the.
I took one outside. I put it on my car and tipped it over just to test it. I mean,
and I'll tell you how tender they were. I looked at them and they fell apart. I didn't even have to touch them.
Yeah.
I looked at them and they fell apart.
Well, I stayed for the first show and I came backstage with you guys. And as I was leaving before the second show, I saw the fillets arrive. And I said, well, you know, maybe I could stick around for a little bit.
Right, right. And he found a reason to stay around just a little bit. Because he doesn't like being around me either.
No.
And here's the thing. And we're not just saying this because you guys are here, because we said it on the air before. But catering, to have food made where they make it, transported to where it has to go to taste that good. Well, it can only be Christmas magic.
And presentation.
Yeah.
presentation.
Yeah, what are you holding there?
This is a martini glass with what appears to be some sort of a salad, like a chicken salad or a tuna salad.
No, it's lobster, correct?
Oh, even better.
Yeah. Yeah.
With some beautiful parsley.
Hold on, I'm going to get you on the air here.
And bib lettuce. This is wonderful.
Where is he coming up, Ben? I can't find him on the technical side of things. Here, we got to turn your microphone on.
But I believe you said it was a lobster martini.
Lobster martini. The only thing that's in that glass is lobster, jumbo shrimp, and king crab leg. That is it.
That's wow. Tremendous.
And it's not rich.
No, not at all.
So, tell me about the company.
Well, this is my beautiful wife, Bridget. We've owned Three Chefs about 15 years now.
Hi, Bridget.
You know, pretty much.
They're over your skis, dude. She's very, you know, very skis. Don't screw this up. She's very attractive, and she could be with anyone other than you.
She can. And
so don't screw this up.
She's stuck with my sense of humor. So yeah.
She must really love you. I mean,
See, I cook for a living, and Bridget handles everything else in the company.
Well, I mean, you guys do tremendous work. You really do. So thank I hope you. You're proud of it, yeah. And we thank you very much for it as well. Just another day with lobster martinis, huh?
God.
How do people get a hold of you for the holidays?
Well, actually,
you're too busy. You don't need any more business.
No, we always look for business. Our website is threechefscatering.com.
Three, the number, or THREE?
The number three.
And threechefscatering.com.
815-788-1333.
815-788-1333. Not just a pretty face, man. I know this stuff. And how long have you been a chef?
Been a chef about going on 30 years now.
Well, you're pretty good.
I'd
stick with it, is my point.
Yeah, I mean, we've had restaurants for a while. I was Walter Payton's corporate chef for like 15 years.
Oh, great. That's a cool story.
You know, so a lot of fun there. And then, you know, the catering I thought would be less work. It's actually more work, but I wouldn't do anything else.
And you got a great relationship with the Rao.
Oh, they're awesome to work with and stuff like that. Plus, it's like 2 minutes away from my shop.
Everything in Crystal Lake is 2 minutes apart.
It is.
Right?
That's true. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
The airport. How close is the airport?
2 minutes. No, it's two. It's 2 minutes. Thank you, by the way, very much. Nice to see you. Don't go away. We'll take a break, come back, hit your news here in a second, and then you and Christopher are going to do a song, and we're going to see if we can get Rocky Laporte on the phone.
We do. I think we will. I think we have him on the phone.
All right. What song are you going to do? You going to surprise me?
It will surprise you.
All right. You want tickets to New Year's Eve to this fabulous event? Don't come back and take our food. That's not what it's called, by the way. That was just subliminal. How do people get tickets?
Oh, you can go to RaoCenter.org. That's their website. Or contact the box office directly at 815-356-9212.
Show's at?
7 o'clock, 3 yeah. early.
3 p.m. in the afternoon
early,
or 7. New Year's Eve for people that don't want to stay awake until midnight. John tried to talk me into a 9:30 brunch show, and I said no. 3 p.m. and 7
p.m. I still think the 9:30.
Yeah, I know you do. It's 9:31. We'll come back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate to go out in the storm. If you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
How about that? How about
Ooh,
that?
All right.
I don't know what happened to you, but your kid's talented,
yeah.
Man. Of course, I get that all the time.
And who was that?
Christopher.
Oh, Christopher.
Christopher.
Christopher DeCause. My boy.
Yeah, he's played at a bunch of shows.
He's my boy.
So, you know, Ross was on stage with me doing stand-up when you were, how old were you, Ross, 14?
When I first did a set, yeah, probably.
Yeah, 14 years old, and Christopher was probably about the same age.
That's about right, yeah.
You know why? Because exactly, they work cheap.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
They don't expect anything.
John and Christopher are going to do a song here in just a second. Who taught who music, by the way?
I taught Christopher. I said, listen, I'm pretty good at all of this. So if you could just pick up a little of it, that'd be great.
And then you woke up and Christopher showed you?
It's weird how I woke up. Right. And I was like, oh, my God, I know nothing.
I understand completely. And our friends from Three Chefs Catering are here as well on Twitter, @3_chefscatering, on Facebook @3chefscatering, the number 3, by the way. And Pinterest as well, and you can call them up anytime at 815-788-1333. Richard Coran is the boss at the Rouse Center, where we'll do the New Year's Eve show. Who else did you bring with you?
Oh, I've got, well, you know, it's all about the staff, because they make me look good, and they make every artist on stage feel great.
True
and
story.
That's our number one goal. Melissa Thumforder, our director of marketing, who's been with the center for 8 years. Oh, my gosh, 8 years. She's amazing. We are so lucky to have her. And
oh, thanks, Richard.
Yeah.
And at what point do you have to learn how to spell her last name?
That, it took me about a year.
What is your last name?
It's Thumforder. Richard always mispronounces
it. Thumforder?
Thumforder.
Because I think he said Thumforder.
He did. Yeah.
I have always.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But to be fair, it's her mom. I first met her mom, and she pronounced it that way to me. So
sure,
I was probably
sure.
Busy. But
that
imagine if you were married and you hyphenated your name with John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. Her driver's license would be 8 by 8 feet.
Totally, it'd be a fold out.
what else we need to mention about the row while we're here?
Well, with regards to your guys' New Year's Eve show, we
yeah.
have a special room package. We're working with the Holiday Inn in Crystal Lake.
Oh, nice.
They're offering a special rate for us. It's $99. You can find that deal on our website at rousecenter.org if you click on the New Year's Eve show. And we also have a special raffle that we're going to be doing during the show. A local sponsor of ours, Piano Trends Music Store in Crystal Lake, is giving away a Casio keyboard.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, worth about $800. Anyone who buys a ticket for the show will be entered for the raffle. And we'll give it away at intermission during the 7 p.m. show.
Fine Rouse Center event right there. And by the way, we're also giving away in a separate contest a weekend in the Dells with John.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped at that. We're going to stay at the Foam House, so I'm pretty pumped about
that.
It's
pretty exciting. Ride the Ducks. I think you know what I'm talking about. All right, now you and Christopher are going to do a song.
Yeah, and this
and then Rocky Laporte will join us.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Okay. Well, you always make fun of me because... by the way, for everybody here, Steve thinks I can sing. I do not think I can sing.
Can John sing?
But we are going to do a regular song.
An amazing
okay, whatever,
singer.
Whatever.
One
here
of the best I've ever heard.
Okay,
in my
and
life.
I gave her money. Okay.
All right. So what are you going to do? You going to surprise me?
We're gonna, yeah. We'll
okay.
Surprise you. This is Christopher's arrangement. So.
And will you do a song on New Year's Eve?
We are actually going to do several songs.
Okay,
as we come back from intermission.
Okay.
So it'll be kind of fun.
John and John, do you have a name for the band?
Oh yeah, you know that's a good question. Who's in the band, Christopher?
Oh,
still auditioning?
Okay. Hello.
No, in the band for New Year's Eve, that'll be playing music as people come in. We have some very talented musicians, good friends of mine, Mike Vukovic and Nick Gunty.
Okay. So we'll just call the band guys Christopher doesn't care that much about.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. So whenever you're ready, you guys take it away.
Okay. Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace wall, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold
Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold.
First time I ever did a serious song.
How good is that?
Yeah.
Good joke.
Did you guys know he could do that? No, right? Nobody knew that.
Oh, I was really, waiting for the joke.
Yeah, no, see?
Tremendous. Really, really, really good.
Or something.
Really good. Really good. Really sweet, actually. Sweet. Not, that's not a word I would ever want to use with you, but very sweet. Very nice.
Love you too, Steve.
New Year's Eve. Christopher and his less talented father will be there. But that,
yeah, that's,
I mean, that was special, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for that. I'll tell you what. We'll take a break, come back, and Rocky Laporte. If you've ever seen Rocky on stage or his new movie Creed, they're both really, really good. So Rocky will join us in just a second, and he'll be one of the main reasons to join us on New Year's Eve coming up at the Rouse Center. Again, John, if you want tickets, what do you do?
You can go to rousecenter.org. That is their website. Or contact the box office directly at 815-356-9212.
It is 948. Back after this on 720 WGN.
Dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear the sleigh bells in the snow.
All right, everybody now. Come on, join in.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry and bright.
Hike up your pants.
And may all your Christmases be light.
Christopher and a band that he would never work with again, and that would be the rest of us. Hey, one note on the Gary McCarthy interview from earlier. The superintendent of police is on with us. It's on all of the social media at Cochran Show, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, and WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com if you want to hear that, because people want to hear what the superintendent had to say and to speak out, not just on the Laquan McDonald case, but on this new potential damaging video today.
Right. That's going to be they're going to ask the family of this particular victim is going to ask for more dash cam video of this case to be released today as well.
I mean, a press conference. Andrea had a lawyer on earlier discussing that for Richard Johnson.
Ronald Johnson.
I'm sorry, Ronald Johnson.
Yes.
But Pat Brady, who's been a great legal resource for us on all of this, said 2 points jumped out at him from McCarthy's statements. One, that the 80 or so witnesses in the grand jury is a significant federal investigation, so to keep an eye on that. Mm-hmm. And also, his question is, did the U.S. Attorney's Office ask for the case and the indictment in particular to be slowed down? And if not, there still needs to be an explanation on why it took a year.
Right, 13 months.
Very good questions and good points and perspective, and Pat's always good for that. All right, it is 9:54, and I have never spent time with Rocky Laporte where I haven't pointed at him and laughed. And you know what's funny, Rock? That's a compliment, isn't it?
Thank you, sir. How you doing, buddy?
Don't you sir me. Rock, where are you working?
I'm working with you on New Year's Eve.
Well, I knew that, but
wait.
I mean,
I'm excited.
You got the entire month of December off?
No, I'm all over the place. I just got back from Canada, and then I'm going to New Mexico this week, and then Louisiana next week, and then I'm with Steve Cochran.
You went from Canada to Mexico and then Louisiana? Are you sure you're not involved in some sort of smuggling operation?
Yeah, I can't talk about that right now.
I understand. But you have an interesting family, Rock. You talk so much about your family on stage. Everybody doing okay?
Yeah, everybody's good right now. You know, I just said some crazy stuff. My brother's having they're having a baby, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, we're just having one kid, and you know, we're calling it quits. And I'm like, that's a weird name for a kid, you know.
Yeah,
like,
quits.
They might want to rethink that.
Quits is a terrible name.
You know, Steve, I joined that Ancestry.com.
Yeah.
And they traced my lineage all the way back to Bridgeport.
Wow. That is incredible.
Yeah.
That's really
good. We had some people come over from Taylor Street, so it's worth $50, you know?
That is fantastic. You know, I'm going to be a grandfather soon for the first time. And I remember.
That's what I said. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. And I remember you talking about the zoo and, you know, take the kids to the zoo. Isn't there a zoo in Vegas you went to?
Oh, man, that place is awful. You know what I did once? This actually really happened. I know I took my two of them. I have 10 grandkids, you know.
Wow.
Because my kids, yeah, they're really like in the sex thing. And, this really happened. I took two of them. It was right around this time last year to the Museum of Science and Industry. And it was on a day where they all had off, like all the kids had off of school. And I'm not even making this up. They both took off in opposite directions, like in a packed museum.
Oh, that's
not
good.
I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, and I know you're not supposed to think this way, but I go, I'm going to chase the skinny one, because then we could always like catch up with the chubby one. And he was probably headed for the concession stand. So that's a bad choice you got to make.
So you knew where,
you can't come home with one kid.
You knew where the chubby one was. And by the way, what was more frightening, your kids running away or you being caught in a museum?
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
So,
but it's all good. I found both of them, and that turned out good, you know.
Well, good, good. I'm glad I had a happy ending. If people want to know where you're working, Rock, how do they keep in touch with you?
They can go on rockylaporte.com on my website and, you know, follow me on Twitter or Facebook, you know.
Exactly.
Hey, Steve, I'm trying to, do you know anybody? I got this timeshare condo in Berlin.